Psalms 139. we're talking about comfort in our sovereign God. And we're now talking about God, the God who has sovereign, intimate knowledge of me. Okay, I changed it a little. It is true, God has sovereign, intimate knowledge of us. But the fact of God's sovereignty makes it personal. Joe mentioned somewhat about that this morning. It's personal.
Yes, sir.
As Joe was speaking this morning, our Lord himself said, I call my sheep, how?
By name.
By name.
Yeah.
By name. Yeah. He deals with us individually. We collectively sometimes experience things together, but we still experience them, how? As an individual. And no matter how close we become, and no matter how united we are in fellowship, I still don't know exactly how you feel. Even though I may have been in a very similar place or position or circumstance, we're individuals. And we face these things and suffer these things as individuals with our individual psyche, right?
Yes, sir.
And our psyches are different.
Yeah.
While we believe the same things, we may think in different ways.
Sure.
We may hurt in different ways. We may joy and find happiness in different ways. But yet there is that which draws us together, and it's not the circumstance so much, though that's true, it's not so much the circumstance, it's the fact that our God sovereignly, intimately knows us completely.
Amen.
David's cry here, as I said last week, is a joyous cry. Verse 1, the first 6 verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. That can be a frightening thing,
oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Because God has, at least for those he has breathed life upon, spiritual life into, I should say, and has given the truth of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, we to some degree know what we are. We know that we are criminals in light of God's law.
Yeah.
We know that God Almighty in his holy justice has the right to damn us in the darkness of blackness forever.
Amen.
And yet, we've been given reason to have a good hope. And Joe, you read that. A good, not just hope.
Yeah.
The fool can have hope.
Oh, yeah.
You know? The man who's insane can have hope.
Oh, yeah.
But it may be an insane hope. As I said, the fool may have hope, but it may be a dream.
Yeah.
But God's people are given a good hope. You know, and I was asked a question this morning to which applies to this. You know, the fact is, I have no doubt in the absolute, total sufficiency of God's free and reigning grace. I have no doubt of that whatsoever. My only concern is, am I really a recipient of that grace? That's my concern.
Yes, sir.
It's not, is that grace sufficient enough for someone like me? That's not the problem. It's more than sufficient enough for us. Despite of how bad we are. I mean, when God told Paul, my grace is sufficient, he didn't mean it's just enough. It is sufficient.
Yes, sir.
It can get the job done. And if it gets the job done, that's good enough, right?
Yes, sir.
But as I said, that's not my problem. My problem is not whether I believe that or not. The concern is, do I believe that simply because I've heard that?
Yeah, exactly.
And my human psyche, my human spirit was drawn to that because it was different or whatever. Or is it that I believe these things because God Almighty himself has taught me these things? I believe the second to be the truth. But you know what? Those people Joe talked about, I figure they do too.
Exactly.
They probably figure it's real with them.
Yeah.
And what a horror that will be.
Yeah.
To think you're going to enter in.
Yeah.
And then not be allowed to. You know, as I said, you know, before, somebody said, everybody, now you people believe some people's going to hell that wants to go to heaven. Yeah, that's exactly right. I used to say no.
Yeah.
I used to say, no, everybody wants to go to heaven, we'll go to heaven. See, that's not true. Now, no one will wind up in hell who has been brought by the Spirit of God and the truth of God's Word to trust Christ. No one like that will wind up in hell.
That's right.
No one will. Who truly, by the Spirit of God and the truth of God's Word, trusts in, rests in Jesus Christ. David, not a one of those people will be in hell.
That's right.
But there will be thousands in hell who didn't want to be there.
There
will be thousands in hell who wanted and expected to enter into glory. And the difference, I say again, between God's people and let me qualify that, God's people who've been regenerated and converted. The difference between God's people who've been regenerated and converted and those who think they're God's people but they're not is this. Those who fear God, they love God's sovereignty.
Yes, sir.
They're glad for it. It may frighten them sometime. They may not always understand its workings, and we won't. But those who truly fear God, we love His sovereignty. But those who don't fear God, they hate His sovereignty. They fear His sovereignty. They don't want Him to be sovereign. Why? Because they want to be in control. That's why. Men hammer for free will because they actually, in fact, want self-will.
Exactly.
That's the problem. Now, man does have a self-will. But God Almighty still controls it.
Yes, sir.
Huh? God Almighty controls it. Balaam and his jackass could go no further or go no less than God Almighty had ordained for them to go.
Yes, sir.
Yes, man has a, or yes, man is, I should say, self-willed.
Oh, yeah.
But man does not have a free will.
That's right.
Free will is a fantasy. It's a fable. It's something men and women have cooked up in their religious minds. Here's why. Here's why. To take away from the glory of God.
Amen.
That's why.
That's
it. It's not the answer to heaven because they believe people with free will, some of them still going to hell. Right? So free will's not the salvation of the world, is it? Free will just kind of works along with Jesus Christ, and free will with Jesus Christ at least will save some.
Yeah.
Right? No, but it still ain't going to save all, except for a few wacko universalists out here, you know, that Thomas Jefferson kind of got started, I think. Maybe I'm blowing that out of proportion a little, but he was a member of the Unitarian Universalist We Love Everybody Searching for Truth group. And they have no more truth than my dog does. Matter of fact, my dog may know more truth than they do.
Oh, yeah.
Well, our Lord said, even, what was it? The scriptures say, even the ass, was it, knows his master, right?
Yeah.
You know? The demons acknowledge Christ's sovereignty, don't they? So David hears cry. His cry is not a boast, but it's one where he cowers in the corner. Oh, God knows. Yes, God knows me. He knows me better than I know myself. That's why even in the end he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. As I said last week, people boast, God knows my heart. That ain't what David said. God, now, yes, God knows our heart. The problem is God knows our heart better than we do. God searched David. God had searched David. Chapter 139, verse 1, right? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Not, you have searched me and now am knowing me. The searching and the knowing is over with.
That's right.
All that is to be searched and all that is to be known has been searched and is known.
Amen.
Right? O Lord, thou hast, past tense, searched me and known. That's past tense as well, right? O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. So God had searched David, and David welcomes its continuation. Not, as I said last week, not that God might learn more, but that we might learn more.
Exactly.
David crying out for God in verse 23 to search me is not that God is unaware of certain things, but that David is unaware of certain things.
Yeah, that's it.
Therefore, there is this sense in which God will still continue to search David and reveal to David who David is. And that's what God does to us.
Yes, sir.
You know? If you ever wondered, so, well, why in the world did I do that? I know better.
Oh, yeah.
This or that happened hundreds of times, and I never did the wrong thing. And then all of a sudden, after all this time, I step in to the mess.
Oh, yeah.
Why? Because God's pleased to show us that's what we do. Step into the mess.
Exactly.
You know?
That's it.
That's why. Well, what all is that? God's pleased to show us how bad we really are. That's why we continue to sin. God Almighty could keep us from sinning.
Yes, sir.
Yes, he could.
He has kept some men from certain sins.
Yes, sir.
Right? He kept that king when Abraham moved away and because of the famine and then lied about Sarah, who she was, right?
Oh, yeah.
God Almighty kept that king from taking her into his bed. Let me just be as plain as I can be. God Almighty restrained that man, and God Almighty restrains us.
Yes, sir.
Or, he doesn't, now I've said it this way, he doesn't let us go. God never lets us go. God merely lets us. You see what I'm saying? It's like the difference. Somebody says, are you out of the will of God? Never have been in my life. Now, have I always done the will of God? Have I always obeyed His Word? No. Rarely ever have I obeyed His Word. When I thought I have, it's probably had wrong motives behind it. You know? Our best deeds are what? Filthy rags in God's sight. Somebody said, but you like to say, that's just the easy cop-out. No, that's the truth. That's not a cop-out, that's the facts. So as I said, God had searched David. God has searched us. David welcomes its continuation, and we ought to welcome its continuation. I'm not thinking that David always felt this way. Do you? I don't feel it. And I remember that time. You know, all my years of Sunday school, they never told me that. It took Earl Cochran preaching, not Sunday school, it took Earl Cochran preaching for me to have revealed to me from God's Word that David, King David, a man after God's own heart, that's what I was told a lot in Sunday school.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a man after God's own heart was letting slobbers run down into his beard and scratching at the gate of that castle wall,
yeah,
acting like a madman. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, you're insane. No, we just act like it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's our problem. We just act like it. We're not really insane. We just act like it.
Yep.
Who brought David to that place? God Almighty did.
Yes, sir.
You know, so I don't think David felt this way right at that time. Do you?
Probably not.
But as I said, I can just picture David. I don't know. We don't know the actual circumstances of when this was written, but I imagine David after a long evening or a long week, you know, and he sits down. And the Spirit of God begins to move him, and he says, O Lord, Thou hast searched me. That can be frightening, but he says, and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought. Remember, this is not linear here. This is not distance. What? Thou understandest my thought afar off. This has to do with time, not distance. You understood my thought way back yonder.
Exactly.
The amazing thing is God still let it be. That's why I don't understand with these free will Arminian, God looks into the future and sees. If he looks into the future and sees, and what he sees is so heinous and so bad, but they claim God so doesn't want it to happen, then why did he not just make it not happen? If God seeing putting that tree in the garden would cause the demise, the spiritual demise of millions of human beings, and God didn't want it to happen, why didn't he just leave the tree out?
Yep, exactly.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now some are so ignorant, they say God didn't know. And that was God's problem. Well, you're dumber than a box of rocks.
That's exactly right.
Spiritually, you might be the wisest man or woman that ever walked in this world, but spiritually speaking, those people are dumber than a box of rocks.
Yep.
You can fill a hole with a box of rocks.
Yeah.
You can't do nothing with those folk. You can't. There is no reasoning with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Their God doesn't exist.
Yeah,
He doesn't exist. No, thou compasseth my path and my lying down, and are acquainted. You're acquainted with all my ways.
Exactly.
Now that's scary, but I'm still glad God knows all. He's acquainted with all my, not just the good parts.
Exactly.
That probably wouldn't be too hard. You could probably be acquainted with all my good ways. That wouldn't take you long.
Exactly.
The hard part's getting acquainted with my faults. And some people learn that harder. You know, some of us learn that harder with each other because we have contacts that are closer. I have certain contacts with certain individuals here that are closer than with other individuals. You understand what I'm saying? These people, I have to deal with them. They have to deal with me in our worst state.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Exactly.
But the point is, we deal with these things as family. We take each other for what we are. Knowing what we ought to be, but what we ought to be, we will never attain until we die or He comes back again.
Yeah.
You know? I will never attain what I ought to be now.
Exactly.
Yet I still ought to be that.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And I ought to strive toward that goal.
Yes, sir.
Knowing I will never grasp it now, but don't quit trying to go toward it.
Right, exactly.
Okay? Now, I know some folks say you can get it. But whatever you get a hold of, it'll vanish in your hand if you think it's the end prize.
That's exactly right.
Because to be like Christ will not happen until we awake in His likeness.
Amen.
And I'm reminded of what Tim James says, to be like Christ. And I'll add a few words, of course, but what a glory. Think of it, for 30 years... He lived in absolute holiness and perfection before God, and nobody caught it.
That's right.
You know? Even his brothers and sisters didn't believe in him. Not at the beginning. For 30 years, he walked perfectly before God and God's law, and they didn't catch it.
That's right.
They didn't catch it. Even his mother and what we would call a stepfather, even Mary and Joseph, didn't fully get it, did they? They left him behind one time.
Yeah.
What a horror to realize your child's not with you, right? I mean, some of us may have experienced that. A temporary loss of a child. I'm talking about just lose the child for a while. Leave the child behind. But you know why that child was left behind? He was left behind because he had to be about his father's business.
Amen.
And that's when he was, 12 years old, wasn't it? 12 years old. Woman, wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? No, to be like Christ. So again, I say God had searched David, and David welcomes its continuation, even if it means it exposes his sins. Most people want God to figure out more about them to realize how good they really are.
Exactly.
David knows better. His summary is, God, I'm sinful.
Yeah.
Show it to me.
Yeah.
Isn't that what he's saying?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how's he going to show that to you without letting you get a taste of it?
Oh, yeah.
Somebody says you're giving people a license to sin. No, they're going to sin all they want to anyway. If I stood up here and told every one of you that if you sin one sin today, you're going to immediately drop off in hell, you know what? You're still going to go out and sin.
That's right.
Amen.
Ain't you? I like what Tim James says. Love Christ and live as you will. And as he said, oh, you're letting people go. He said, no, not if you love Christ. Not if you love Christ. That doesn't even mean, if you love Christ, it doesn't mean you won't sin. But if you love Christ, you'll know this. You will be brought to know how heinous your sin is. how despicable it is in God's sight. And you will be brought to hate yourself and repent in dust, metaphorically speaking, in dust and in ashes.
Yeah.
Even Job, who had no great sin as a cause for his trouble. Wasn't it Job was sinless, but David, he had no great crime against God for which all of this calamity had come upon his head.
That's right.
And his friends were saying, yes, you're hiding something.
Exactly.
Basically, that's what they were saying. Yeah. Now, Job, we know you, but you got some kind of something secret going on here.
That's right.
God wouldn't be doing this to you otherwise. But in the end, even Job repented.
That's right.
Right? Because Job said, and let me find it. Where is Job again? It's right before Psalms, ain't it? Look at verse 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything.
Yeah.
And that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear. And here's this whole thing about God's sovereignty. It's not just to tantalize our imaginations. It's not just for us to sit here and theologically engage in finding out who God is. Here's the reason. I have heard of thee by the hearing of my ear, but now my eye seeth thee. And he's talking more than just physical sight. Job is saying, I have experienced your sovereignty. I knew you were sovereign. Huh? I knew you were sovereign. Now I see it. It's like saying, the light came on.
Yes, sir.
As I said, you know, we have to be made alive before we realize we're dead.
Exactly.
We never realize we're dead while we're dead.
That's right.
Yeah. Spiritually speaking, we never realize we're dead until after we're made alive, then we say we're dead. But what we're relating to is not what God has recently done for us, but what we were by nature, even though we're no longer dead.
Exactly.
The only way we knew we were dead is that we're now made alive, but we're so ignorant we don't realize the distinction. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's not until time and experience goes by that we actually then say, that time I was dead.
Yeah.
Back yonder, I was dead.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we were alive then. And then we begin to kind of find this area of time. We might not can pinpoint it, but there becomes, Mac, this area of time where we say, you know, somewhere in that area I became alive. Joe's ably said that this morning. Things change. But it's not the things. It's me.
That's it.
You know, it wasn't the things that changed. It was me. You see, such a state of being, that is, God searches me, and I welcome its continuation, even if it exposes my sins. Such a state of being exists only in spiritually alive people. Those who are natural men and women. That is, those who do not have spiritual life. Those who are still dead in trespasses and in sins. The natural man, in view of God's sovereign omniscience, either hides, excuses, or ignores his sins.
Yeah.
He may or she may even try to justify their sins.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that's not to say the believer may not do these things for a time. But the fact is, since God has searched us, he will continue to search us, and he'll expose to us what we are.
Oh, yeah.
But the natural man, when it comes to God's sovereign omniscience, he either hides, excuses, ignores, or tries to justify his sins. Well, you ought to change. The fact is, you can't.
Yeah.
We ought to. You know, we ought to. But the fact is, we can't apart from God Almighty's power.
That's it.
It is God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Amen.
If I'm not one of his, he won't be doing that.
That's right.
Huh? I won't be doing that. I will not be doing his good pleasure.
Yeah.
I may still be doing, well, I will still be doing his will.
Yeah.
But I may not be doing his good pleasure. But nevertheless, the natural man, again, says, in view of God's sovereign omniscience, either hides, excuses, ignores, or tries to justify his or her sin. God's people want recovery from them.
Yeah.
Not by hocus pocus.
Yeah.
But by God's work.
Yes, sir.
Because it takes such work. See, I'm not looking, well, I just hope my sins are gone. That's what people want. Hocus pocus.
Yeah.
God forgive me. And I've carried on, Penny and I have carried on, and Paul, we were watching the ball game last night talking. And we were carrying on and being silly, you know. But people are really like this. Do whatever they will please. They think, oh, I got to do it. God, forgive me that sin, please. Lord, I did this today. I cussed. I said a bad word. And Lord, if you'll just forgive me. And they think they're fixed up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The problem is that sin had best been under the blood of Jesus Christ, or you'll pray yourself to death looking for forgiveness and still split hell wide open.
Amen.
And you can repent of that sin from now till kingdom come. And if that sin wasn't paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ, you'll go to hell.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, we ought to confess our sins. And he is, when we confess our sins, what? Just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to, what else? And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, even though we're not righteous.
Exactly.
That's the whole point. When you ask God to forgive you, you're still unrighteous.
Yeah.
You're still unclean.
Exactly.
Or he wouldn't have to be cleaning you up still yet. Yeah. Right?
That's it.
Well, I don't want to be that way. Well, you don't want to be a believer then.
Yeah.
Because that's the best the believer can hope for in this life.
Exactly.
Huh? And let me tell you something. After you've been there a while it's still the feeling of guilt, of shame when you're found out. And I mean when God finds you out. I'm not talking about when somebody else finds you out. And when I say God finds you out, and it, basically the fact is when you find out, God has found you out.
Exactly.
He already knew about you.
Yeah.
That's the more truth of the matter. This is not, again I say, it's not, we don't want it, we don't want recovery from these things by hocus pocus. And it's not, oh God, I have this problem, take it away from me so that when I wake up in the morning, it will be gone. It don't happen that way.
Yeah.
It don't happen that way.
You're right.
How do I ever get rid of that? You won't unless God Almighty takes it away from you.
That's it.
Because everything we still have in our lives, we still grip with both hands.
Yeah.
Whether we, you know, yeah. Have you ever been going down the road in, say, like a snowstorm or a heavy rain, and not even realize it until a few miles or so far down the road, and do you realize that you have been gripping that steering wheel with a death grip?
Oh, yeah.
You know? You don't even realize it because you're so concentrated, what? On the road.
Yep.
On keeping that thing in the road. Then all of a sudden you realize, and I've done it before, and my hands hurt.
Yeah.
But I didn't realize it. You know? That's the way we do sin.
Yeah.
We grip onto it with both hands so tightly. And let me tell you something, it will take an act of God to get rid of it. But, thankfully, God in the person of His Son has already acted. Legally and judicially, it's been taken away.
Yes, sir.
My sins are gone, even the ones I'll commit tomorrow.
That's right.
If I live that wrong.
Exactly.
They exist. They will literally, Ellen, exist. I will literally do them. But legally and judicially, in Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ, they don't exist.
That's right.
They've been put away. That's my only hope.
Exactly.
If it ain't that, I'm a goner, David.
Yeah.
Because no matter how much I repent, no matter how much I pray for forgiveness, I'm still not a righteous man. I'm still an unrighteous man.
Exactly.
And I prove that every day. I show that every day. I can say this. Thank God for His grace.
Amen.
I'll say it again. My problem is not with God's grace. There is no problem with God's grace. My concern is, am I truly a person who has experienced God's grace?
Exactly.
That's what I got to know. That's what I got to be. Mac, that's what assurance is. Not being assured of whether Jesus Christ did what God said he did. The point is, do I have a part in that? Am I under that grace? Father, I pray as we part our separate ways, we may be mindful of one another. Help us to think of one another, pray for one another, be concerned for one another, and to help one another. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask in His name. Amen.